This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
We've got something.
Ooh. Good afternoon, people with ears.
Now, a new sound. Very melodic.
A nice slice of psych.
A good, solid sound.
This is a music show, is it?
Yeah.
The music... The instruments.
Just like a giant Twix.
The voices.
Guess what my name is? It's Joey Page.
And it's ready to go.
Wow, you know...
Now, play it.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Halloween special of the Joey Page Show. I am going to be your spooktacular host. Get ready, because today I am here to Halloween you off of those tired old indie hits and play some good music, spook to some cutting edge artists, and play some music from my frightfully good playlist. Basically, it's the same as every show. It's just I get to play some Halloween music here and there and some Halloween themed songs and talk about some Halloween based bits and pieces. Today, as well as the absolutely incredible smorgasbord of guests, which I'll run you through the laundry list of who's on and who's who in a moment, we got some really, really pressing things to get through. Number one, as always, we'll be talking, as we do it this time of year, about Halloween costumes. Number two, we will be talking about hauntings. Have any of our guests ever been haunted? Things like that. But, most importantly, we're going to get to the bottom of something today, okay? Today, we are going to be looking at the trick-or-treat aspect of Halloween, right? So I'm going to be asking our guests if they've ever performed any particularly brilliant Halloween tricks. Though I don't think anyone really goes down the trick route. It's normally down the treat route. And that's what I'm going to focus on. Because we're going to be talking about sweets. Now bear with me, right? Because last week in the office, I started chatting about this. And everybody was going wild for it, right? When you buy a packet of sweets from the shop, and I'm talking opal fruits, I'm talking fruit pastels, that kind of thing, right? The ones with the regular colours, right? You eat them in an order. Skittles included as well, right? You've got your favourites, you've got your order, and I'll be getting Abby and Wheels and all of the guests. And then we'll be doing a sort of like little league table of what comes top and bottom. And I think whatever comes bottom, we should write. I know that the Prime Minister has got bigger fish to fry at the moment, but we should write to the House of Parliament, have that sweet band, because it's a waste of time. For me, the waste of time one is the yellow. Yeah, it goes yellow, red, black, green, orange. Orange is king or queen, but I'm a boy, so for me it's king. Okay, so I'll be going round the production team and the guests and finding out who's got what coming up in the show. Also, I'm on very strong painkillers today because I shut my hand in a car door yesterday. What an idiot. Who does that? A child. That's who. But that's what I did yesterday. I shut my hand in a car door. And it was after I'd probably played the best game of football I've played in about 4 years. And then when my mate let me out of his car, I decided to hold on to the, you know, the middle bit of the frame in between the two doors. I sort of held on to that to pull me up. Because I need pulling up now. I'm 35. And Tom Parry, my friend, shut the car door. There's some bruising. I'll be alright. I'll make it through the show. Anyway, that's the flavour of the show today, pun intended. But let's find out who we've got on the show. We've got four guests today, so I'm going to be trying to keep things as brief as possible elsewhere. And I know that my sweet tangent hasn't gotten us off to the best start in that respect. But I've got... Well, today, let's talk about the playlist and who's on. Wall to Wall... Unless it's like a Halloween spooky one. Just really good, punchy new music. Stuff I'm excited to play. Stuff I've never played. I don't think I've played anything by any of the artists on the show today that isn't a Halloween-related song. Right? Everything is brand new on the show, I think. And joining us in the studio are the incredibly talented, diverse, and experimental Two Tribes. None of their songs, I mean, they've only had two, but none of their songs coming out under 5 minutes long. It's kind of like a little mini rave, but it's much more complicated than that. And I'm very, 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 that's five verys, very excited to have them on the show today. They'll be joining us in the studio. Also, we've got Kaya from Jackie Charles, who are another, in their own right, experimental, different. They put the way they put their songs together is unlike most bands that I've ever heard. So I'm very excited to speak to them all the way from Berlin on the Blower. Plus, I've got Mairead and Jim from Lion Coffee and Records. And you'd be surprised how many times I've got those three words in the wrong order. You won't be if you're a regular listener. But Lion Coffee and Records, they've got a wicked shop in Hackney. They've just opened one up in the Box Park. And we'll be talking to them about that, the launch party they've got coming up. And also about the gig that I went to see there, Crush Beaks. They had the Crush Beaks launch party there for their album, Crush Beaks' album. And also, we've got Talia from Deep Deep Water, who have got a absolutely astoundingly brilliant EP out called Something in the Water. She'll also be joining me in the studio. That's a lot to get through, so we better get on with it, right? Right. Okay, let's start the show then with a lovely little bit of Halloween music to get us cracking. I'm going to play you a song by the Sonics. You know how much I love the Sonics on this show if you're a long-time listener. This is actually their debut single that came out in 1964. It's also on the Nuggets compilation, which I also own. And this song is called The Witch. Welcome to the Jerry Page Show Halloween special. I can't even tell you how much of a good time I had listening to that. I haven't listened to that for ages. Inspiration to Nirvana and The Fall and Bruce Springsteen, who, as you know, we don't trust on the show. And that is the absolutely banging voice of Jerry Rosely. They're still going. They're on my bucket list of things, on my musical bucket list to see. Now, it's the Halloween special here on the show, and nothing is more scary to the whimpering artists that don't impress me of the music industry than the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. Okay, so welcome to the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. A slightly truncated version today because we've got so many guests. But also, once the devil gets in me, who knows how long this could go for. So if you've not heard this before, it's basically a list of things that are good or annoying or whatever. The top thing, I play something by that artist or the artist related to that story. And the bottom thing gets relegated, banished from the show, never to be seen again, banished to the depths of hell on the Joey Page Show. So, where should we start? Oh, let's start in the middle, I guess, with some, not whatever, just actually some things that are slightly interesting to me this week. And a Halloween-related one to start us off with. Tyler, the Creator, his album Igor, where he's kind of, he's wearing a wig and a brightly coloured suit. He looks a bit like me. I like to wear pastel coloured suits. He's just got a wig on, right? So I'd like to think that I might be inspiration for that. But if you want to dress as me with a wig on, or Igor, the character from Tyler, the Creator's latest work, Igor, then you can go onto Tyler, the Creator's website and buy that costume for Halloween. Pretty cool, right? I wouldn't mind going as Igor. Shame I've got nothing to go to tomorrow night. I'm still waiting on an invite if anyone wants to invite me, and I doubt that the costume would get her in time, but I'm around. Now, another thing in the whatever section, and this just cracks me up. Kanye West, need I say any more, reckons that his latest $68 million tax refund is a gift from God. Okay, now, he's saying it's a gift from God. However, it's got more to do with the fact that Donald Trump introduced a tax break that he's taken advantage of. But because he's a born-again Christian, he's saying that everything is because of God. Unless, I think this is going to be like the biggest heel turn in history, where he's going to proclaim that Donald Trump is God, because Donald Trump is the one that's giving him the tax break. You heard it here first. More strange goings on from the very, very strange mind of Kanye West. Right. Tame Impala have got a new album coming out next year. That's just a line about that. That's in there. So that's up towards the good end. Marika Hackman has announced some tour dates around the UK. She is going to be going from the 24th of February to the 4th of March to the following places: Manchester, Edinburgh, Newcastle, Sheffield, Cardiff, Norwich, Birmingham and Brighton. I am going to see her in Amsterdam with my good wife, and supporting them will be Our Girl. So what a very nice weekend I'm going to have in December. But you can see her if you don't want to travel to Amsterdam. You can see her on her tour, just been announced, on those dates, what I just said. If you've already forgotten, just rerun the show a little bit. I'm not repeating it again. Also, this Friday, Madness are doing, they're doing an intimate gig at the Electric Ballroom in Camden in November, and tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m, and they are only £2.50 a ticket. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to take my dad's. Dad, if you're listening, clear the 17th. We're going. Now, I'm going to leave what else is at the top, because that is what's won the barometer this week. I told you it was a truncated version today. Let's get down the bottom. There's three contenders. One got relegated from the show last week, so I'm not going to do it again because it's boring. But Robbie Williams, starved of attention rather than oxygen, is saying that he wants to fight Liam Gallagher. In like a box, he's seen these YouTubers making money off of it, and he can't stand not being in the spotlight. He's a megalomaniac, so he wants to fight Liam Gallagher. Liam Gallagher once said that he'd do it down a disused train track. Robbie Williams bottled it. Robbie Williams wants to do it for all the money and glory and have it on pay-per-view and something, I don't know, I stopped reading it. So he's a contender, but he's already been relegated. Ed Sheeran, richest person under 30 in the UK or something like that, made 170 million this year, doubling his money. What's he going to spend it on? He doesn't do his hair. He doesn't wear nice clothes. He looks like a down and out. What's he spending it on? Go away. But there's a clear winner today. Not least because he stops people eating, bringing their own and eating their own meat in the venue. And I'm talking about artists. If backstage before a gig they want to eat meat, he's banned that from the venue. But he's also started selling albums at $300 a pop. Signed albums, but not signed by himself. Other people's albums that he's signed. Morrissey is selling David Bowie albums that he signed for $300. What on earth are you doing, man? Get it together. Maybe he's been drinking whatever Kanye West's been drinking. I don't know. But Morrissey, you're out of here. You're relegated from the show. Goodbye. Good night. So let's move to the top of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. This is just a band that I've discovered and I think are brilliant. They're called Working Men's Club. And they have supported the likes of... When I say the likes, I don't mean the likes. I mean the actual... These people. Bodega, the Brian's Jonestown Massacre, and Fat White Family. They are doing some gigs around and about. Starting tomorrow night, Louisiana in Bristol. Then on the 1st of November, they're in Preston. On the 2nd, they're in Sheffield. And 7th, they're the Waterfront in Norwich. On the 22nd, they're, yes, in Manchester, but that's sold out. As well it should be, because they're a fantastic band, and I'm delighted to have come across them this week. And therefore, they are the winners of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. Here comes Teeth.
This time gets stuck between the line. These days, this time gets stuck between the line. We'll be right back.
There you go. I told you I was going to play new exciting music today, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. That is Working Men's Club and Teef, and they are the winner of the Barometer of What's Good or Annoying or whatever for this week. Welcome back to the Joey Page Show. It's now time for me to welcome my first of four guests on the show today, but someone that I'm very, very excited to speak to. They've got an absolutely smashing EP out called Something in the Water. It's Deep, Deep Water. It's time to welcome Talia from Deep, Deep Water into the studio. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. It's Talia.
Talia, sorry.
Don't worry. That's all right. I get,
I've got a friend called Talia, so but it's spelt the same, so... In fact, she used to work here. That's how I'm friends with her. So blame her for that. But Talia, I will get it right from now on.
Thank you.
Okay, so how's it going?
Good, yeah. Had a busy morning getting ready for our EP launch tonight.
And your EP launch is?
It's at the Pickle Factory.
And that's sold out, right?
Isn't it? Yeah, that's sold out. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
What a great place as well, the Pickle Factory.
I've never been.
Oh, it's good.
Unfortunately.
It's good. And do you know what's really cool about it? Is that you get to be, well, you might not find this cool, I don't know. But the big, like, gas towers?
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, right out the window.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I've never been that close to them. That's about as close you can get when you're in the Pickle Factory. It's just quite a nice sort of skyline to have in front of you. It's quite sort of spooky and weird.
Sounds gorgeous.
Yeah. So there you
can't
go. You got that to have a look at when you get over there. But, yeah, no, Pickle Factory's great. And... yeah, so tell us a little bit about... We're going to get into some Halloween stuff in a bit as well. But
okay.
Tell us about the EP first and foremost, because, first of all, congratulations. It's a magnificent piece of work.
Thank you.
And it's like there's so much ingenuity to it and so many different sounds. Mm. Like, you can almost hear undertones of, like, jazz, and, like, your voice is very soulful on some of it as well. So tell us a little bit about the inspiration for the sound that you guys make.
So there's four of us in the band, and we've been friends since we were kids. And we all produce our own music, and we're like musicians in our own right. So when we came together, we've got like all these different influences. I'm very jazz influenced, hip hop, classic rock, modern electronica. And then the boys, like, they have different influences. Frankie likes like some indie music and a little guitar music. And Jimmy on drums, he's like jazz drummer. And Bernie is really into, like, he has a modular synth and he, like, built his own sounds. And he views music very logically, whereas I'm, like, pure feeling when it comes to it. So we've got all these, like, different influences. And when we come together, 10 hours a week, writing.
That's quite a lot, though, is it not? Do you not feel
it? Is a lot.
Yeah,
it is. But, you know, it's good. And it's amazing to do it with friends. And we love it. So.
And so who was friends with who first? Or was it all around about the same time? Or do you remember meeting?
I do. So Jimmy and Frankie, so our drummer and guitarist, they went to primary school together. And then we all met each other when we were like 11. And I met Frankie when I was 11 at this sort of like disco, and he had like sticky uppy hair, you know, classic like Beckham, gelled.
Yeah.
I thought he was hot.
Okay. And what was yours doing?
Pardon?
What was yours doing at the time? Your hair?
My hair?
Yeah.
Oh, I had these like two gelled bits of hair at the front and used to like wear a high ponytail.
Nice.
Yeah,
so like
really
that's
gorgeous.
proper chav work, right?
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Yeah.
I back in my period of that, I had a Nike tick earring.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was really special.
Not in the hair?
No, just an actual earring that was, you know, a Nike. Yeah. I don't know what jewellers were selling that, but... Everybody had like Adidas ones or Nike ones or whatever.
I miss that trend, I think, somehow.
It's coming back around, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, carry on. So yeah, he had the hair.
So they met,
the curls.
And Jimmy, like, we all live very close together. Like, we're all from Hackney. So that's kind of how we met. None of us went to school. Well, they went to primary school, but none of us, like, studied together. So we knew each other on the weekends. And then me and Bernie, who's, like, the synth player and plays bass, we started doing, like, radio covers, like, at parties and stuff like that, you know, as you do.
For fun or for money? Like,
for fun.
For fun, right.
For
okay.
fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Not great covers, I don't think. But, we started working together when we were like 14 or 15, and then continued on until we decided, you know, we wanted to flesh out the sound and make it bigger. So then we came together, and yeah, we've been doing that for a long time.
And do you realise that your sound is quite exciting and different?
I mean, we hope so, right? It's interesting when you're close to your music. It's very hard to like.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because
it is incredibly like diverse, and I'm like, oh, there's so much rich stuff in here, which is what really drew me to your sound. But it's like, I wonder how much that's natural, or whether you're like, oh, we're onto something here, and then we can like build it up and build it up. Or
I think we're making the music that we want to hear. I think at the end of the day, like, we love people like Bjork and The Knife, and we're always trying to push those like genre boundaries. And we all kind of do a lot of experimentation. So on stage, I do a lot of like I try and do like electronic effects, but just with using the mic. So I do like a delay.
Okay.
Things like that. So we're all like trying to create something new but still accessible.
And it's an EP launch tonight.
It's tonight.
First off, how are you feeling about that?
Good, excited. We've got new songs to show tonight,
yeah, right,
as part of the EP launch that we've been working on since Glastonbury. This year we played on the introducing stage, BBC Introducing.
Oh, cool.
And we saw the most amazing music. We saw Black Midi and Squid and Pit Blom.
Oh, Squid, yeah. Pit Blom as well, yeah.
And then we saw the jazz stuff like Ezra Collective and Sons of Kemet and Coco Roco, and it just kind of blew our minds a bit. So when we came out, we were like, oh my God, we gotta, you know, get into the studio. We gotta write our hearts out. So we're just lining up EP2 now.
Basically. Nice.
Yeah, so excited about it.
And do you have anything particular plan for the EP launch that goes beyond and above, say, a normal gig, as it's a special occasion?
Well, I just got some really good news yesterday, and that is our producer, Richard Norris, who's one half of Beyond the Wizard's Sleeve. He produced that EP. Yeah, him and Era Alkin are Beyond the Wizard's Sleeve, and he's Richard Norris is an amazing person to work with. Like, knowledge of the industry, like electronic music, and he's been in a band, and he's an incredible guy to work with. And he is going to be DJing tonight, which I'm really excited about.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. And we've got, like, a lot of visuals we've been working on.
As in, like, on a screen or...
Yes.
Oh, great. So how did you come about... When you say you've been working on, you put them together yourself or...?
So we've been working with someone for a while, a guy called Richard Robinson, who does these... Well, he was really into the band, and he just got it. He's an amazing guy himself. He's done a few... he's done some work for Maslatech.
Oh, cool.
People, which is cool. We love Maslatech. So he kind of just got us and got our vibe. We all suck at art, so it's really good. A lot of bands, like, they're really good at doing their own drawings.
Yeah, right, okay,
and,
yeah.
That really winds me up.
Like, winds me up as well, because I'm not good at art. I'm like, you're good at everything.
They're, like, making videos and, like, doing it all themselves. And, like, we do music, but, like... We do music. We try.
And so is he just kind of going off of things that you're like, has he been talking to you and then he's like, right, I'm going to come up with something cool?
Yeah.
Is that how
it's
working?
Yeah, and just like inspired from the music as well. Like, so I feel like he gets it and that's great. Like, so lucky to have someone like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds great. Oh, amazing stuff. Well, what we're going to do is we are going to play something from the EP.
Ooh.
And then when we come back, I'm going to have a little chat with you about Halloween before we let you go, because it's the Halloween special on the show today. So, but in case people haven't heard your stuff, I think it would be nice to, like, and then they can get a bit more of who they're dealing with on the other side of this track. But we are going to play Mother, which is from the EP, Something in the Water. Don't know how you came up with that.
Ooh. What? How we came up with Something in the Water?
Yeah. Because
of DD Water, yeah.
But yes, so we're gonna listen to Mother. It's an incredible piece of music. So if you're doing something, why don't you stop and give it your full attention? Because that's what it deserves. This is Deep, Deep Water and Mother.
If she saw you, I would. You.
there we go. Deep, Deep Water and Mother from the EP Something in the Water. It's the EP launch party tonight. I've got Talia in the studio with me in a wonderful fluorescent green. You told me that you was getting a bit of hatred for that earlier on.
So. A lot of hate, yeah.
Yeah, so who from?
Best friend. She just hates lime green. Oh. So I don't know why, I've just been fixated on it for ages.
It's nice. I think it's good.
Thank you.
You're carrying it off well.
Oh,
and then you've got a suitcase for the stuff. That's for the EP for tonight,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I don't usually tell people that. But I have this like really great on the day routine, like before a gig, where I just get all my clothes and then I sort of like get into a pile of clothes, lie on them, and then just think I have no clothes to wear. And just lie there until someone sort of pulls me out and it's like, all right, come on, just put some clothes on.
And do they pick something from the pile for you? Or
yeah, generally. Yeah, and if someone's like, oh, that looks fine, I'll be like, it looks terrible. I'll be like, it looks incredible. I'm like classic only child. So
stay as you are.
Thanks.
There we go. You look incredible.
Great.
We'll go
thanks.
For that. And so now, before we let you go, I want to just get you involved in a little bit of Halloween business. So I've got a few little Halloween-based questions for you. But one of them is very serious, and we're going to cover that last, okay?
Okay.
So, number one, I just want to know, it's fine if you haven't, not everybody has, but have you ever been haunted? Have you ever come across any extracurricular ghostly activities?
Well, at primary school, I tell this story a lot about, like, I stayed at my grandparents' house, and like I have some of my ancestors on the wall. You know, this man on one side, great
paintings.
Uncle. Yeah, paintings.
Yeah,
and
then not their heads. On the other side.
And then I heard all this weird sound, and then when I came up in the morning, they'd all switch places, all the paintings.
No.
But I told the story so much in primary school, I don't know whether I like fabricated it and ended up believing it. But
so you might have brainwashed yourself into thinking that was real.
I might have done. Yeah, or maybe it was. You know.
We'll never know. So, where are these paintings now?
I don't know. They're not up anymore. There they are! I don't know. They're terrifying
someone
else.
You need
else,
to get on that. You need to find out.
I will.
They might be worth something.
I don't think so. No? It's just my family. Yeah.
Take them on my new pet thing to watch. Take them on Dickinson's Real Deal. See if you can get anything from
them. That's not a bad shout. Yeah. I have to steal them from my grandparents first.
Yeah. Well, find out what's happened to them, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a matter of importance, I think.
Yeah.
See if they've switched places. Number two, the other thing I wanted to ask you. I want to talk about fancy dress, right? Because I think I'm pretty sweet at fancy dress costumes, right? So can you tell me about maybe a particularly good one that you've done?
Mm-hmm. I love fancy dress, but I, like, love dressing as men.
Yeah.
So every time I cross-dress, I just feel like very liberated. I don't know what it is, but as a kid, I was like obsessed with dressing up as men. So I did Elvis, very, you know, like hairy chest.
Yeah.
When all the other girls are princesses and really big sideburns, fully in character. And then the year after, I did Austin Powers, and that was I would happily dress as Austin Powers every day and be fully in that character for the rest of my life.
I can see that. Well, I can see Elvis as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All the compliments.
There we go.
Yeah.
Maybe you should cover Elvis and and then you could dress as him.
That's not a bad shout. What's that thing that he ate? Do you remember
a cheeseburger?
No, there's like this golden baguette that they deep fry and then they fill with like 10 packs of bacon.
Oh.
And then peanut butter, like a whole tub of peanut butter. Isn't that how he was meant to have died?
I thought it was eating a burger on the toilet, but I might be wrong.
I feel like it was this like golden
snack.
Oh,
I'm gonna look into that. Peanut butter, banana, and bacon sandwich.
I don't think there's banana.
That banana would have been too healthy.
It's like a whole loaf of bread, I think, involved, isn't it?
Okay.
Anyway, sounds lovely. I might have that pre-gig. I always eat the wrong thing pre-gigs.
Once I, because I do stand-up comedy, right? So
yeah.
Before I did a show, I was feeling really like up in Edinburgh, I was like not healthy. I was like, I'm going to go and cook a spaghetti bolognese, and then by the time I put so much into it. By the time it was done, I had like 10 minutes to eat it and get to my show.
Oh, God.
And the first half of the show, I might as well have just been lying on the floor. So, yeah, don't overload the carbs. That's my...
I'd done that before Seabright. We played a gig at Seabright Arms a while ago and went to Bird. And I got one of those chicken waffle burgers.
Chicken waffle burger.
And I was just absolutely dead afterwards. Like, yes,
is that on your rider? A bottle of gin and a bottle of Gaviscon. Right, one last thing I want to ask you about. Before we let you go, this is important to me today. Trick or treating, right? Mm-hmm. Often you get sweets
yeah.
if you're going trick-or-treating. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore. I'm too old. But I want you to put these in the correct order mm-hmm. in your mind. So say you've got a pack of Starburst or a bag of Skittles or wine gums. Mm-hmm. Can you put them in colour order from worst to best for me?
Worst to best.
Yeah, because we're going to try and get rid of the worst flavour at the end of the show.
Is it flavours? So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like wine gums. I feel like that's super old fashioned, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they're top of the list.
Yes, but what colours? No, I'm talking about in the colours of all sweets.
I mean, I've got to be basic. I've got to go red.
Is the best?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm not going to be all quirky and be like, "Oh, the green ones are the best." Because
I've got green
not.
In second, but
have
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
And then purple, and then just put the rest in the bin.
Really? So what's the worst one?
The worst one's probably yellow.
Yellow
or where? Green? It's probably green.
Green. So that leaves orange in the middle.
Yeah, orange is average.
Well, we'll find out at the end of the show. I'm going to bin off the worst, everybody's least favourite choice. What's I'm going to write to the House of Parliament and get it banned from all sweets.
Everyone's going to be really quirky and be like, "I love the green ones." They don't. Right, if I
for
put
me,
a bowl here,
for
you
me,
should put
it's
a bowl
orange.
Out.
I know. For me, it's orange.
Weird.
Oh, no, it's not weird.
Is it? Sorry.
Okay, get out. No. listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been wonderful to meet you, and genuinely just congratulations on a fantastic EP.
Thank you.
Good luck with the show tonight.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I bet. Mm. And also, for people that haven't got tickets, you are going to be doing some support gigs for various people around and about, which you'll be announcing at some point. But also, you are going to be doing Moth Club in late February as well.
We are, yes.
So
we're very excited.
People keep
that.
Their eyes and ears peeled for that. But also, go and have a listen to the EP because it's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for coming in. And yeah, we'll see you really soon, hopefully. I am going to play something else from the canon of Halloween stuff. Am I? No, I'm not. Because it's not here. Okay, let's do this. Another piece of new music by a band called Talk Boy, who I think if you haven't heard them, you will really enjoy them, and I'll let you know some stuff about them after this. But this is Talk Boy and All Works Out. You're listening to Jerry Page Show, the Halloween special. Works Out by Talkboy. You are listening to Joey Page Show. Talkboy, that's from their EP that comes out this Friday called Over and Under, and they're playing loads of gigs around and about the UK with the likes of our friends Honeyblood this November, so check them out if you can. Also, don't forget that if you are going to see Deep Deep Water tonight, then they're going to be on stage about 9 o'clock at the Pickle Factory, and possibly Talia will be wearing her lime green pickle, or as Will said, pickle green. So we're going to continue on with which is the best and worst of the coloured sweets in homage of Trick or Treat. I'll be getting the answers of Will and Abby very shortly. In fact, have you got them there? Let's have them. Run them in for me, Will. Let's see. So already, I'm going to take you through mine, because I don't think I've done that yet, but it's very clear for me. Worst is yellow. Then it goes red, purple slash black, depending on what sweet you're eating. And then orange. So, Will has gone for... Is this best to worst? Best to worst. So, Will's put yellow at the bottom as well, as is Abby. So, it's not looking good for yellow here today. But I suppose what you got to do as well, you got to think of what are the options to replace it. Watermelon, disgusting. Grape, disgusting. So we've got to be careful, right? But, because that's what you get in American sweets. So, anyway, Abby has gone for yellow, green, orange in the middle, red, purple top. Oh, Will and Abby are so in tune in the gallery. Yellow, orange. Well, why are you putting orange second to last, you madman? Green, red, purple. Oh, this is like a sweet election. I'm enjoying this. We'll get the rest of our guests throughout the show. And soon we're going to welcome Mairead and Jim from Lion Coffee and Records. An establishment that I've gigged in there as well. At a gig run by my friend who went under the name Pickle Boy. Look at the synergy on this show today. It's amazing. Anyway, let's get a little Halloween number on. And then we'll get Mairead and Jim in to talk to us about the new store they've got opening and all the good things they've got coming up. And just, you know, get an insight into what it's like to run a real live record shop and coffee house in the same room. Okay, so here we go. We play this every year. It's time to dust it off and wheel it out. It's Bobby Boris Pickett and the Monster Mash, which I can tell you is a song that came out in... Oh, God, I can't tell you because I've lost a bit of paper. I'll tell you about it. Oh, yes, here we go. So, in 1962, but it didn't get into the UK charts until 1973, peaking at number three. And in 1962, the BBC banned it from being played on air on the grounds that it was too morbid. There's nothing morbid about this. It's the bloody Monster Mash!
An eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the Monster Mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker 5.
They played the mash.
They played the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the Monster Mash.
Oh.
Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring.
Oh.
Seemed he was troubled by just one thing.
Oh.
Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the Monster Mash. Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band. And my Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
Mash good! Easy, God, you impetuous young boy. Mash good!
Monster Mash! Monster Mash!
All right, the Halloween special here on FUBAR Radio continues. And it's time to welcome my next guests, Jim and Mairead from Lion and Coffee Records. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
How's it going?
Really good, thanks.
So I've got so many things that I want to ask you. It's so cool to have somebody in, or a pair of people in, that do that. They're in the music industry, but it's not just me chatting to bands. I know, obviously, Mairead, you managed?
I managed,
managed Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
Chris, your husband, was on drum duties in that.
Yes.
And then you and Jim, between you, you run Lion Coffee and Records.
Yeah.
Which, when you've had a couple of beers, is extremely difficult to get them three words in the right order. As I've done a few times. And I've been to the Clapton one. I actually went in your brand new one just on Saturday because I was looking for a last minute extra gift for my wife.
Did you find it?
Well, do you know what I was after specifically?
Go on.
I was after because she's got one of the patches.
The lion patches.
Yeah, lion patches. So I was like, oh, I'll get another one then. But they only had the same one that she already had. So no. But because I was literally looking for.
We haven't updated the patches, damn it.
No, I was just looking for like a little, you know, extra kind of like, I don't know.
It's a little throw in their gift.
Yeah. So I know you've got a new store opening up and all the rest of it. But where do you guys want to start actually with all of this? Do you want to?
Good question.
Big question.
Well, I guess. Maybe like how we started as a record shop,
yeah,
when it came about. So we started Lion 5 years ago, and my husband Chris, who was a musician, he had it as a kind of a bar hangout with his mates, basically,
right.
And he sold some records, and what
was it called then?
It was called Hayden and Wilds.
Okay,
so he had it with a couple of friends, and then a few of his friends had to. They couldn't do it anymore. They had some family stuff, or like. So I came in and was like, "Come on, let's turn this into a proper business.
Yeah,
let's do this. Come on, Chris, let's do this properly." So we named it Lion Coffee Records after our son, and that's where we.
I mean, you put a lot of pressure on him to have a big future with a name like
Lion. I know. Arlo Lion is his name. We did it as his middle name.
Yeah.
So we sort of, you know, and we wanted to create a space that we could hang out in, have bands that we knew to come and play, but it feel quite intimate.
Mm.
And actually, if I'm totally honest, I didn't want anyone back at my house anymore because I had a kid. So it was actually quite a nice excuse to have a little spot that you were like, oh, let's hang out here instead.
Now you have a room to play.
Oh, we have a room to play. And it was, so that, you know, and my background, I started out as a DJ. So I've always like loved records, got a very extensive vinyl collection. And it kind of is a way of me not buying any more records to have my own shop. sort of scratched
right.
that itch.
So
for me
do you
as
ever
well.
Find like a sort of boozy landlord would drink the stock? Do you find yourself taking a
oh,
moment with you?
It's so hard. Well, when there's something brilliant coming in, I'll be like, all right, get an extra one. And then when it's something really good, if there's only one left and I haven't got it, it like sometimes kills me not to take it. But I'm like, it's got to be for the shop. But yeah. that passion is always there when ordering.
Great.
And it's,
oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never be able to because I've got quite a, I'm sure compared to yours, quite a fledgling vinyl collection. But like,
but it's never ending.
I'm such a sucker. Like, I'm exactly who they're marketing at when they say coloured vinyl.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
where is it?
I know.
Or that's... the master or the extended version. No. Yeah. But records are a nice thing.
Yeah,
they're
of course.
Nice, aren't they?
And you met Chris, your husband, through the Florence and the Machine.
I did.
Kind of thing, so he was doing the drums, and then and
yes.
now you've
He's
got
spent far too much time together.
So, but right, so I'm kind of going a little somewhere with this, right? And now you're in the Box Park, right?
Yes.
I met my wife at the Box Park, right?
No way.
And you're both very creative people, obviously.
Yes.
So and you know you've got. Is it just one kid you got?
One and another one on the way, actually.
Congratulations.
Yeah, every child, we open a new record shop, it seems. So every 5 years, we're going to have new record shop, new another baby.
And are you gonna change the name of the
we
second
might.
Store?
We're not sure what her name is yet, but yeah, maybe we will. We'll sneak it in there
a
somehow.
A new EP.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so just any advice for us as a fledgling couple that have got maybe some things in common, being from the Box Park where you now are.
To keep things
happy, basically.
Make sure you make really good playlists for each other.
Oh,
make
we sure, do that already.
Make sure music is like a big feature in your house.
Do you live together?
Yeah.
Do you have a record player?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
You know what to do.
Yeah.
Try not to work together that much.
Yeah. Okay. And so, Jim, you're the manager.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the day-to-day of what it's like to run a record shop. Because, I mean, it sounds amazing, but I'm sure there's things where you're like, oh, this is really cool about it. This is something that you wouldn't imagine is quite stressful about it.
I guess day-to-day, there's a lot of variables, you know. There's a lot going on, you know. It's funny, my friend Josh bought me a second-hand copy of High Fidelity as a gift, as in... Yeah, you know, you're involved with a record store, which is pretty sweet. It's particularly at this moment in time, having just opened the second Lion store in Box Park. It's obviously there's a lot of, you know, we're still touching up the walls as well as stocking the shelves.
Yeah, right.
Jim
you know?
Actually helped build it. Like Jim and Chris built the shop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we were masquerading as builders for a good 2 weeks, and it was a lot of fun.
You were really good at it. Yeah. Not that I was doubting you, but you were both really good.
Yeah, I've never timed before.
Great.
I've never grouted before. But there you go.
There you
know? It's
but better to try it out on a shop than in your own bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would say.
But day to day, I mean, it's an education in itself because, as a music lover, you're actually spending your day amongst literally thousands of wonderful works of music, works of art, and it's great to talk to customers about what they're into, what they're seeking.
Does it ever get heated? Does ever someone come in and go like, "You should be stuck at this," or you're like, "You've just got terrible taste in music"?
No, I think we're too kind for that. But that's almost like in the High Fidelity sense. It's like, I'm looking for such and such an actor. Like, you please leave, just get out.
And I went to one of the album launches that you do at the shop. So I went to Crush Beaks.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah. I was really very drunk because I've been to the football, so by the time I got there, I was already quite drunk.
We'd heard you were dancing up the front.
Yeah, I was dancing up the front. and then just bought, I think, all of their EPs.
Brilliant.
The sweet tooth of being drunk and being like, oh, they're right in front of me.
You've
out.
Got the
formula.
Yes.
Yeah, it's because you do quite strong pale ales and things.
we're known for an espresso martini.
Yeah,
oh,
all
press amazing.
Espresso martini.
Yeah,
we'll get you buying those records.
Yeah, that's right. At lightning speed. I've actually gigged in the Clapton one. You didn't, but somebody had a comedy night there.
What was it? Pickles.
Yeah, Pickle Boy. It's called Wolfie. My friend Luke. a big beard. He ran it in there for a little while.
Oh, cool. That must have, like, was that like, really early on?
Yeah, really early on.
Yeah.
And I went and did one. And that was nice.
Great.
I think
there's
about there's about six people there, but
that I always found
because
like,
that but that's no slight on the shop, that's on the comedy.
But what's nice Intimate. About the space in Clapton, we're actually about to refurb it, but if like six or, you know, 10 people came, it's a nice intimate space. It's okay if there isn't many people.
You still have a nice gig.
And like, that's what we always wanted to encourage. It was always welcoming. It didn't have to be packed out.
Mm.
That if it was a small crowd, it was just intimate and you felt comfortable playing.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Or telling really funny jokes.
Right. Yeah. Or it's always got a joke. Atmosphere, it's true. You could be in there on your own with somebody else on a date or whatever, having a coffee on a in the morning time, and it's still got that atmosphere.
Yeah, because that's how we met, actually. Jim was like a punter, and he has... he's a performing artist, says Video Blue, and he's played at the shop numerous times.
Oh, nice.
And we, that's how we met. Couldn't get you out of the place, did we?
I know. Just kept coming back.
Yeah, well, it's a little it's a little bit of a walk from Hoxton to Clapton. So, but the Shoreditch Box Park one, I literally jog past it when I go to football every Sunday morning in the Power League. So I'll be in.
No excuses. Good.
Yeah, I'll be in.
Great.
And I'll be spending some of my FUBAR money in the basically. So
buying your wife, lovely girlfriend, lovely records.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably just for me. So what I would like to do now, as this is the Halloween special today, right?
Yes.
I just want to have a chat about some Halloween based things, and then we'll run through some of the events you've got coming up, the launch party, and also you've brought in an exclusive track to play for us.
We have.
Oh, and I suppose we should talk about the record label as well. So much stuff still, but yes.
Mm,
first,
thanks.
Nail down these Halloween things quite quickly then.
Go
so
on.
First of all, have you ever seen a ghost? Ever been haunted? Ever had a paranormal experience?
Definitely been in some creepy hotels.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've definitely I've felt a presence once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, in the wee small hours.
Mm. Where
a breeze, a creek.
Can you remember a specific place or where you felt
unsettled?
I've got
one actually so I live between London and Margate, and there's a hotel in Margate called the Walpole Bay Hotel.
Mm.
That's definitely
got something
some things going on in that hotel, and there's lots of oddities and trinkets everywhere, but very, very sort of
macabre,
creepy rooms. Mm. Yeah. It's a good creepy, but it's definitely some stuff went down in the past
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
I was in a motel in California, and it was one of those like coin operated bubble bath type things. It was like a hot tub thing,
right?
But it was like a sentient thing. It just started bubbling by itself without us. So that was probably my creepiest.
Okay.
I didn't let this happen.
Now, fancy dress. Can you, in your mind, think of a particularly good fancy dress costume that you've done? Last Halloween, I went to a Halloween party as a flasher. So I did one. I got one of them like muscle tops, like fleshy muscle suit things.
Yeah.
And then put a pair of boxer shorts over my boxer shorts and a flasher's mac. And then got a pair of tights and then filled it with some cotton wool and made it look like a penis and had it hanging out the front. And every now and again I'd undo my jacket.
How
and
did
it
that go
like
down?
People were in horror.
How are they?
In a different way to what you'd expect on Halloween.
Yeah,
but
yeah, right. But that's a good cocktail of horror and
fun.
Hilarity.
Yeah.
I think
you've got a good one.
My go-to is Mia Wallace. Is the Pulp Fiction?
Okay.
Is the go-to?
Yeah.
It's a quick one.
You're busy.
It's very busy. Past few years. But it's always very effective. And then I'm sure I've got tons. Or I'm quite into that Day of the Dead, like a mariachi vibe.
Mm.
I'm always got quite a bit of a Mexican Halloween vibe
going
on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can't. Well, I'm trying. I can't remember the last time I did something that was meant to be scary. You know, I kind of do just a dress up, you know?
Yeah.
So the last time I actually dressed up was probably about 3 years ago. And you see me, I'm wearing glasses and I shaved my mustache and I went as Ned Flanders from The Simpsons.
That is
with the skiing version with the Stupid Sexy Friend.
That was my last.
That's the last one I did. I can't remember.
It's time.
I can't think of anything ghoulish or scary.
No, but
you know.
Still, it doesn't have to be. Yeah. And the final thing I want to ask you about Halloween before we have a little chat about the record label and all the stuff that you've got coming up is, obviously trick or treating. You get sweets, right? So what we're trying to decide today on the show is, you know, when you buy a pack of either Skittles or wine gums or well, it's got all the flavours in, right?
Yeah.
I want you to rank them in order from worst to best, because I think it's about time we did away with the yellows. That's what it's looking like so far.
Okay.
So, Jim, do you want to maybe go first? If there's a packet of fruit pastels in front of you,
okay,
right?
Okay, yep.
And all the colours are available, what are you going for first?
The purple, blackcurrant type one.
Purple,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Then
red. Green.
Oh, really?
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Ooh. I put green second.
Because if you combine,
see, this is why we're doing this today.
are we talking about any fusion here? Are we like, is this like, you know, I'm consuming one, swallow it, gone?
Yeah,
or can we mix? Because green works very well with purple. You know?
We're not on mixology.
No fusion cuisine.
Leave that for your all press coffee people where they're doing mixing, matching the flavours. But don't.
I'd probably put yellow last, actually. So I think that makes sense.
Orange then yellow.
Yeah, orange. Yeah. Is that all the colours?
Pretty much. Yeah, unless we're not getting into American horrible watermelony kind of, you know, grapey, apple-y. Mairead, what about you?
With fruit pastels.
Well, yeah, just, you know, those general colours that you get in most.
I would go with red first.
Red.
Then I'd go orange.
Yeah, good. You've got it near
then
the top.
Then I'd go purple.
Herps. Yeah.
What am I missing?
Yellow and green.
I'll go yellow, then green.
It's always a shit fight between those.
That's it, I know. Yeah. The yellow, then green.
Okay, good. All right.
Love it. I just knew. Exactly. You know your colours.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about myself. I'm so particular.
Yeah, but you do. Everybody knows.
It's just there in the back. It's just...
What's your Skittles go to, Joey?
It's always the same, like, because it's the same colours. So for me, orange is always top. Then it's... Depending on what mood I'm in, it's between green or red. And then the other one of those, purple. Yellow's always last.
It's amazing. If I'm eating Skittles, I tend to probably not look at them. I'm just
throwing them in.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair
two
enough.
Or three at a time.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'll leave it till I've got all the oranges together and then I'll slam them in.
Do you separate them?
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. If I've got time. Not if I'm driving or something like that.
Yeah, that would be a responsible driving or operating heavy machinery.
Are you looking at your phone? No, I'm sorry. Skills out, mate. Let's have a little chat about the record labels.
Yeah.
Love, Love, Love and Hate, Hate, Hate. Fat White Family, big favourite of mine on Hate, Hate, Hate.
Yeah.
And, so just tell us about... Because it seems like quite a cool concept that you've got two separate names and two separate labels.
So I have parked both of them for the time being. But when I was running them, we did Love, Love, Love. It was a bit more of a guitar bandy, like dreamy, had a certain aesthetic. And there was a bunch of bands coming through that I loved that didn't quite fit Love, 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 like Fat White Family. So then I came up with like let's release them, but let's call it Hate, Hate, Hate. Let's be the angry little brother of Love, Love, Love. I had a brilliant time releasing records and finding these bands. But it's quite a hard thing to sustain now, industry wise, and if you don't have backing and how you know, just the journey's quite a different one. We enjoyed doing like 7-inch singles, like one offs, but when you're getting into album territories and stuff, it kind of it's a quite a different ball game.
And with two children, two shops, I think you've got your work cut out for you as well.
But what I had such a fantastic journey doing both of those things and met some brilliant people and got to release a lot of music that I hope, you know, people like.
Yeah, cool. Now, before we tell people about the launch party, and also you've got a track that you've brought in that you're going to play for us.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you an absolutely horrible question
now. Oh, God, go on.
That you won't be able to answer, but I'm duty-bound to ask it because it's about records.
Go on.
Is there a vinyl that you particularly covet, whether it's because of the artwork or because you don't have it or because you found it and was like, I can't believe I found this or a version of something? Is there something that springs to mind when I ask you what's your sort of favourite piece of vinyl that you've got?
Favourite piece of vinyl? Do you know what I always really love, just for cover, is always like Rolling Stones cover artwork.
Yeah.
So like Some Girls or Exile on Main Street, I'm always like into collage type artwork.
Some Girls is great with that. Yeah, Some Girls is always,
yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, probably have to be a Stones album.
Jim?
Well, it's kind of, yeah, it's definitely not my favourite sleeve, but it's the one I cherish most is probably a copy of Born in the USA I have by Springsteen, because I got it signed by little Stevie Van Zandt, who's the guitar player in the E Street Band, after a Dublin show about 10 years ago.
Oh,
so
sweet.
That to me is, you know, to be honest, I rarely listen to it, and as I said,
it's just because to have it,
absolutely, and that was what, 2008 or 2009, and it was one of those things where it was the record I bought before I had a record player. I think everyone has that one. You know, these days, like, you know, if you didn't grow up with one, you know, and you come to it later, a lot of time people seem to have acquired these records before they actually have something to play it on. And I think that was the one that I had before all that. So for that reason, yeah, that's probably the one.
Yeah, nice. All right, great. Well, it's been so nice having you in. Before we let you go, tell us about some of the stuff you've got coming up, not least the party on the 7th at the Box Park.
Whoop.
In Box Park. So we're taking over. They've got a little like club upstairs called Beat Box, but it's like a little, feels like a Soho nightclub to me. It's a great little space. So yeah, we've got a party to celebrate our openings. We've got a band called Doobie Fontaine playing.
Amazing.
Misty Miller, who I believe you've had on the show.
Yeah, Misty Miller on here, yeah.
And Film Noir playing. We've got Nick Grimshaw DJing, Jamie Reynolds DJing, Jen from Boogaloo Radio,
Ozzy
from Swim Deep. Yeah. So just a lot of our friends sort of coming together. So yeah, it should be a really fun night.
Oh, great. And have you got any other stuff coming up that you want to let the listeners know about?
We're just about to host Matt Maltese's album launch next Friday, and that's going to be our last thing for a minute, because we're actually having
a refurb
of Clapton to sort of watch this space.
There's lots of exciting things in the pipeline.
Loads of great things going on. Yeah, we're excited for it. We're just going to relaunch it more like a cultural space, lots of Q&As, more gigs, maybe some supper clubs, like film screenings, that kind of thing.
Oh,
so
brilliant. Yeah,
and,
well,
we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, and
you can come back.
Who knows?
give me another chance.
Yes, so, and how can people stay in touch with what you've got going on? Is it just as simple as typing it in? And, yeah,
website and Instagram. Yep. So we're at Lion Coffee Records or lioncoffeerecords.com.
Nice. Yeah. And to finish us off, you've picked something that isn't out yet.
No,
it's
from an artist called Longy, who Chris from Lion, he produced this track. So Chris is sort of record shop owner and producer, and Longy played at the shop, and they knew each other years ago and reconnected through Lion again, and formed a sort of great relationship, and Chris ended up being his producer, and like what a journey they've been on in the past year. And this is the product of their partnership. This is their single called Akachita that's out actually next week. So you've got the first ever play.
That is very exciting. And I wish that I'd have had some sort of klaxon to celebrate that. But, what does Akachita mean? Have you got any idea?
It means fighter.
It does. It means
Native
fighter.
Native American.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We've all got the fighter. All got the Akachita in us.
Yeah. We have, especially after a few of those very, very
strong martinis,
guys, it's been so lovely having you in, and yeah, hopefully this will be the start of me annoying you in your shop quite a lot and buying loads of stuff.
So hopefully. We'll update the patches. Yeah. We've actually got some new merch coming in. We've got some new t-shirts and sweaters, so we'll hold on
there
for
you. There we go. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, I'll sort of wheeze past on Sunday when I'm going to football and come and stick my head in. This is Akachita by Longy. Mairead and Jim, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I love like a race tip. This is a definite. All roads lead to 528. You think you've been there, but have you been there? And she drops your heart to break. This ain't a secret, we just ignore it. You've got the power of a million horses. Now feel it growing inside you, knowing I'm with you every step of the way. You have to listen to the lady as she guides you home. It's ingrained by the pain, so channel your soul. This is a mountain, my friend, and you're on your own. You start hatching like a butterfly. It's gonna take you and run you dry, but don't let it. You got elements you need, so be good, breathe. And as you turn, I'll be by your side. I need to die.
FUBAR Radio presents
Fear as you've never felt it before.
We're joined in the studio by Matthew Holness.
Hello.
You've just written and directed feature
first
film.
Feature, yeah, with yeah. A horror film.
Watch what Crappens would like to think it's...
What was that? What was that? What was
that? Ghost in the Machine.
Or maybe not.
Okay, carry on.
That was terrifying. Well, it is our Halloween special.
Well, there we are.
So we've now got actual ghosts.
It's my Halloween special, anyway.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
If this was a 70s spooky film set in a radio, that'd be the first thing that would happen.
That's right, that's the...
You'd just get a little tiny bit, and as it would go on, it would escalate.
That's it, we're not getting out of here.
Screams that give you the chills.
It's the one and only Michael Griffiths from Love Island, Michael!
Yes, it is.
Which couple were the loudest in bed?
Tommy and Molly. I slept next to them, and I like there's times I'm just looking at them like, can you stop? Like, I'm trying to sleep, like, just let me fall asleep, then continue your business. I don't know what they were doing, but they were active.
My word.
Dates that end in a nightmare.
Welcome to the Tuesday Takeover. My name is Cece Coleman. I am here with the lovely Gavin.
Hello, everybody.
We have Natasha.
Leggero.
And we have her husband.
Moshe Kasher.
I kind of got kidnapped on a date once.
Whoa.
Yeah. We met up for drinks, and she'd had like a bottle and half of wine already.
She was drunk.
Oh my God.
We ended up just like hanging out back at her new place. I spilt red wine on her brand spanking new sofa.
She could have beat your ass, Gavin.
Exactly. I actually did stay the night. No. I kept hearing her getting up to lock the doors and lock windows. I had this really horrible feeling that I was locked in.
Well, you were locked in.
Well, yeah.
Halloween on FUBAR Radio.
There we go. It truly is Halloween on FUBAR Radio. And this is the Halloween special of the Joey Page Show. Obviously, I am Joey Page. If you don't know that, then I literally don't know how your brain works or what you're doing listening. Or you, who knows? Anyway, that was before we had Jim and Maraid from Lion Coffee and Records. And that was really exciting for me to speak to them. And it's like I'm going to have bought shares in the place, because I think I'll just be getting most of my records from there from now on. So... good bit of business for those guys. It's now time to welcome into the studio. I'm going to do a rundown in a minute, but I haven't collated it of the what sweets are getting banished. But I'll come to that later, because it's now time to welcome in. I said this at the top of the show, that they make absolutely original, exciting and brilliant music. And I'm very, very excited to welcome Kim and Patrick from Two Tribes into the studio, who join me now. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hi. Hello.
Sorry that you had to watch me fumble for it. I didn't really know I was going to mention that for a minute. I was just like, oh, where's this, any of this going, and what have I got to cover? It's been it's been a very hectic show today. People have been in and out, and now...
I was just going to say, actually, I live just by Lion Records.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, so pop in there all the time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
nice.
It's a really nice place.
Yeah, you should have... should have asked them what the password is for 20% discount. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to get it out of them. How are you doing? Are you well?
Yeah, we're really good.
Good. Yeah. So tell us, I don't know where you want to start, but tell me about Two Tribes. Like, how did it start? Who knows who? Give us a little history on...
Do you want to lead?
Yeah. So... We basically met all at the Shakwa Arms. Me and Pat met because we worked behind the bar together there.
Okay.
And back then I started playing bass, and Pat gave me a little lesson in bass playing. And
just like on a tea break at work.
Yeah, something like that.
Sure, why not? And we became really good friends, and then he started this new band project and asked me to join, and he already knew Anna and Alistair beforehand, because Al and him, who's our drummer, they were in a band before together, and Annalisa and him knew each other from gigs and...
Yeah, from just around...
Yeah. So, that's how we all got together. We then all met at the Shakwa Arms and talked about the band, and have been one ever since.
Nice. Yeah. And so when Kim came on board to Two Tribes, how did you describe what music you make? Because I am having a hard time pinning it down slightly, and in a really good way. Do you know what I mean? But just it'd be good to hear what you would... class what you do.
Well, when we first started the band, there was probably about like 4 or 5 songs already written, and then since then we've written, I don't know, like nearly 20 tunes. So like the sound has changed so much since then, but there was already a kind of like an idea of like what the band was about before we got together and started playing. Video Drone's like a really good example of like all of us pulling together and making something.
Because it seems like, with Video Drone, it comes from a film which I've not seen, so you might have to help
really
me out a little bit. Well, it sounds good, but it'll be on my list of things to now put into the culture of my mind that I didn't know about before. But, like, when you look at the artwork for the two singles, I know that you're doing this gig at the Shakwa Arms on the 9th of November, where you're kind of taking over the whole place and sort of doing it up.
Yeah.
So it's clear that you think about the presentation from every aspect, from like what you look like on stage to what the covers for the singles look like and everything, and it seems very specific. So, yeah, I just wondered like how you get into that mind space. Is there something that you're like, obviously this film, for example, so what else is there that goes into the melting pot?
I mean, we're influenced by like all kinds of visual elements, and like the artwork especially is kind of like the brainchild of Claudia, who's Kim's friend.
Right.
She just we give her like an idea, and
she's just got this amazing imagination, and she's really good at more of an abstract type of art, and she makes it look great. We had like a few ideas that we gave her before, just from the art that we like ourselves or what we've seen recently, and just themes that we've been thinking about or writing about or seen in films, and then she just takes elements of it and just puts it all together in an interesting combination.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
You know, we wanted the headline show that we're doing next week to be feel different to just going to a gig.
Yeah,
we want
right.
it to feel like interactive in a sense. So there's going to be visuals. It's going to we're changing the way the venue looks. And I don't know.
Can you, without giving too much away, can you give us a bit more information on how you're doing that?
Well, I've bought like 60 quid's worth of fabric.
Right. Staple gun?
Yeah, yes, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So something along
it's
those
gonna
lines.
It's going to be messy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And what kind of a deal have you got with them? Have you got to come in the next morning and take it all down, or what's going on with that?
I actually work at the venue, so...
Oh, you still work there?
Yeah, right. So I've got the keys.
Okay, good.
It's pretty much a homecoming gig, I
yeah,
would say.
Yeah, right. I mean, it seems so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, we're really excited for it. Yeah.
And also, we should give a little shout out to the other couple of gigs that I've got written down here. If there's any more, then do chuck them in. But you're doing Latest Music Bar in Brighton on the 12th of November.
That's right.
And on the 29th, you are doing the Lexington with Sink Your Teeth. And I'm saying that especially because, am I right in thinking that the Shacklewell Arms one is sold out already?
No, it's not sold out already.
It?
No.
Oh. I had that written down somewhere.
No, the last two shows.
Oh, the last
sold
two sold out.
Out.
There we go.
Yeah. But we're expecting it to be busy.
Yeah. Great. Now, one thing I did want to ask you is that as the current two things that you've put out are both sort of 5 and 7 minutes long, right? It's clear that you guys, and I love long form stuff, but is it a bit of a headache for you guys in terms of trying to get stuff into slightly more popular culture because it's a bit experimental? Like, do you ever think in that way of like, oh, we need to make this a certain way so that it is more successful, or do you just simply not really,
I mean, we're
not
kind
bothered
of,
about that?
We're kind of just going for what we feel works for the tune, but then sometimes that develops into a lot of a longer kind of song, but then you can always do a radio edit later on.
Yeah, I mean, the last two songs we've done aren't really radio friendly in terms of length, like the full...
They are on here.
the full essence of the song comes out with the 7 minutes, you know, we've got, I think one of the next tunes we want to do is like a 3.5 minute, you know, we're...
It's not we're like our main goal to always make the songs really long.
Yeah, sure. But I was just like, is there any consideration going into, right, we need to tick certain boxes to try and, do you know what I mean, get it a bit more widely?
Oh, no.
No,
not really.
And how do you
as
work,
long as we're
like,
happy with it.
In a group, like when you're coming up with a song, how do you, what's the dynamic?
Usually we spend a lot of time like writing and mapping songs out at home and... you know, playing with synth sounds and all this kind of stuff and mapping out structures and stuff like that. And then once we've kind of got a rough idea for a song, then we'll take it to the practice room and gel it together so it sounds right in a live sense.
Yeah.
Because rehearsing is expensive and also it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to find the time to do it, so it's just about time management, I guess.
Yeah, that's... it's about organizing it beforehand so we can bring it in and then jam the rest out, really.
Nice. Well, I've not got you for incredibly long today, so something I want to get through is some stuff that we've been doing on the show. Is it's the Halloween special today, hence the Monsters theme tune on loop in the background of this conversation. So a few little Halloween things I want to run through with you. Number one, I'd like you to tell me about a particularly good fancy dress costume that you've done at some point in your lives.
I went as Brandon Lee from The Crow once.
Yeah,
that
was, I can
see that.
That's
how I met you. Yeah. That's how I met you on Halloween. Yeah. That was the first time I saw him, and I didn't actually properly see him because there was so much makeup on his face.
Yeah, right, okay.
It was badass.
Nice.
It was pretty good. I just... my favorite, like my to-go look, if I can't come up with any other Halloween costumes, is to go as like a doll, but like a creepy one.
Right. Yeah.
And just make you know that lipstick dolly kind of look.
Yeah. Okay.
And just with lots of fake blood added to that. So
because why not?
Always goes. Always goes.
Well, I was telling the story to the Lion Coffee and Records guys before. The story that I was telling them actually happened in the Shacklewell Arms. I went last year as a flasher. Brilliant. To Halloween night at Shackle Arms last year.
That's pretty original. Great.
Yeah, just a pair of pants over a pair of pants, and then like a sort of fake penis, and then a flashers match.
I wonder. I'm going to find out if anyone remembers that.
I hope someone does. But yeah. Have you ever been haunted by a ghost, either of you? Have you ever seen anything ghostly or paranormal?
Well, my granddad claimed he saw a UFO. I don't know if that counts.
No, it doesn't count.
No. Don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen anything, but I feel like if I, like, when I die, I'm probably going to be a ghost haunting other people.
Okay.
That's my, yeah.
Well, I'll try and stay on the right side of two tribes, and then you won't be coming after me. Guys, I've basically run out of time with you, which is a massive shame, but I'm so just interested in what you're going to do next. Like, I really love how inventive and different your stuff is, and yeah, you're just on my radar, and I just can't wait for the next time you bring something out. I'm just always going to be on it.
Oh,
and,
sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, just... I don't know. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but keep up the good work. Yeah. Well, I mean, anything to do with it. But yeah, just really impressive how you guys are operating. And yeah, I'm actually gonna kind of got an eye on trying to get down to the gig on the 9th.
Oh yeah, well, give us a shout if you want to come down.
What, do you know what time you're going to be on?
Yeah, should be like 9:45.
Yeah, that sounds about right for me. Yeah. Because I've got something on earlier in the evening, but I reckon I can do both.
Okay, so it's actually 10 p.m.
Oh, fine. I'll be out. Yeah, easy.
We just tell people 9:45 to get just in case.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, there we go. That's my 9th sorted. And we are now going to play the aforementioned video drone,
ooh,
which is kind of why I've got less time because it's 10 minutes. But seriously, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
This is Video Drone by the fantastic Two Tribes.
Yeah.
How good is that? That is Videodrome by my previous guests, Two Tribes. And that is just the tip of the iceberg for those guys. I can't wait to see them on the 9th. If you're around, get down to the Shackle Arms. It's going to be very exciting. They're taking over the whole place and doing it up in some sort of representation of their sound. They didn't give me too much information, but I'm sure that it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait to see it. If you're around, come down, say hello. I probably won't be dressed as a flasher this time, though, so apologies in advance. Right, it's now time to welcome my fourth guest to the show. It's a band, a group of individuals, people that are making some very, very interesting work, and I cannot wait to get stuck into a conversation with Kaya from Jackie Charles. Kaya, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello. So I understand that you are travelling across space and time in a train. So where are you off to? Or where are you coming from?
We're going to the middle of nowhere outside Berlin because we need to pick up some equipment.
That you left somewhere or that you need for something? Did you leave it at a gig and you're going back to
we're getting it for a gig.
Okay.
It's a PA system and some speakers and some stuff.
Okay. And when's that?
And it had to be now.
When's the gig? Tonight?
For no good reason. We're playing like in a couple of days.
Okay. Nice. And so, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really just in love with the stuff that you make. The album is a really wonderful piece of work. And I just wanted to start with something that I've seen written down a few times about you guys. So I was going to maybe get you to explain this to us. Jackie Charles are three individuals from disparate backgrounds united by a desire to use art to cope with the dystopian future that is promised to them by the news cycles on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That is a very exciting way to sum up the band, but I was just wondering if you could, just embellish on that and tell us a bit more about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, the thing is, sorry, I just have a bit of plague or something. The thing is, we're living in this weird-ass world at the moment, and, making music seems to be the only way to survive, for me anyways. And my bandmates felt the same,
And so is that something that
Jackie Charles is just the name... Sorry.
No, go on.
Yeah, Jackie Charles is just the name we put on that condition. It's Jackie Charles could be everyone.
It couldn't be me because I'm absolutely rubbish at making music. But
feel a bit similar.
Oh, I definitely feel a bit similar. Is it something that you talked about before? What came first, this feeling or the idea that you wanted to start a band?
Well, we've said a lot of different things. I mean, I wanted to start a band. I was hearing this song in Lidl. Do you have Lidl in England?
Yeah, we have Lidl. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just felt like, oh, wow, there's so much crap music out there that doesn't say anything. And I feel like I have more stuff to say, so I figured let's start a band.
Nice. And tell us a little bit about how you guys, did you like know each other from studying, or have you been friends a long time, or were you in other bands and you've kind of come together? How did you guys all form Jackie Charles?
We met in a choir.
Ah.
We were all singing in a choir, a dystopian choir, a nihilist dystopian choir in Berlin. And we just figured, one was a drummer and one was a guitar player, and I was a singer and a keyboard player, so that kind of fits.
Yeah. And being based in Berlin, do you think that adds to the dystopian feel to things? Because as beautiful a place as Berlin is, I feel like there's quite a lot of industrial architecture that sort of lends itself to that bleak feeling of...
I really love that. I mean,
I really love that. But do you feel like that's really helped you make the sound and the feeling of the band?
I think that's probably part of why we all moved here. So it's more a sense that we all had the same kind of vibe, and then we moved here because of that. I feel like that's the same for almost everyone who lives in Berlin. They're all like looking for something. So they come here and they find it. I mean, I've been to London and it's quite dystopian in my view.
Yeah, possibly
even more so than
way.
Berlin. In
oh,
some
do
way.
You think? I guess maybe I'm used to it. And I love Berlin, but I guess I'm used to London, so I don't see it so much because it's right in my face. Do you know what I mean?
I love London too, but you know, it's like here, it's quite, I feel like London's a bit less diverse and it might be harder to, you know, be impoverished like we are in London than it is in Berlin.
Yeah.
Berlin offers a bit more of like opportunity to be able to create while still having an apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to have one or the other in London. It's very expensive.
But, that's what it seems like, anyways.
But yeah, I actually got engaged in Berlin, so I do love Berlin
oh,
very
wow.
much. But yeah,
that's amazing.
I think it's just quite stark. The architecture is something because it's not something I see every day. I'm just like, that's why I was
oh,
really into it.
Oh, definitely,
like,
yeah. It has such a crazy bleak history as well. So it's like been through all of these changes that I find really interesting. It's a really like inspiring place to be because it's almost like 10 cities in one.
Yeah.
Instead of just like one place. So you round a corner and it's a different vibe. So that's quite inspiring, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Now I want to talk to you about your brilliant album, Future Fantasies. So tell us a little bit about the process. Like when you're making some of these tracks, do you always work in the same way as a band, or did you have like an idea of like a through line that you wanted for the whole album, or is it, I just wanted you to give us a bit more info on how you made the album specifically.
Well, a lot of this stuff is just like notions that floats around in my brain a lot of the time, and I try to capture it whenever it comes floating.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that I've been known to kind of embarrass myself by singing stuff into my phone really loudly. And then, you know, I bring it to the band. We kind of work out the songs together. Normally I do the melody and the chorus and stuff, and then we kind of work it out, what kind of instrumentation. I do a lot of like pre-production on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys kind of offer their unique individual kind of twangs to
nice.
It.
Nice. Well, it's worked amazingly because, it's a really brilliant song. And I'm a real big fan personally of Time Travel as well, the song. Obviously.
Thank you.
Not the idea of time travel, though I would be. But so yeah, and you're coming back over this way November the 21st and 2nd. You're Rough Trade East on the 21st of November,
yeah.
And then the Sea Bright Arms for a Vice magazine show with Caramel on the 22nd of November. Have you ever done a Rough
Indeed.
Trade in store before?
No, it's our first one, and we're really looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, they're so cool.
We just hope we don't end up like in a Spinal Tap moment where we're supposed to do a signing and we really want people to come and like get their record signed so we don't like just sit there awkwardly and look stupid.
Well, I'm gonna try and come down and say hello so that you'll at least have that.
That would be great. Yay. One person.
And then what I'll do is I'll just bring a few disguises and then I can queue back up and
oh, that would be great. Yeah, like a fake beard and like,
yeah, I'm sure you're not going to have any trouble with that at all, but just in case, let me know. I'll bring some props.
I think it's going to be really fun. And even if it's like just 10 people, you know, we'll really fucking blow their brains off.
Yeah, right. And there's such wonderful, intimate shows as well. And because the record shop is open at the same time, so it's a really unique thing. And I think you'll have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I was there last time we played in London, which was this spring, right?
Yeah.
And I really loved it. It's a really cool record store. It's
nice.
A nice vibe in there.
Now before we let you get back on the train to the middle of nowhere to pick up your kit, I just wanted to ask you, because it's the Halloween special on the show today, so I've got a couple of Halloween questions that I want to run past you, if you don't mind.
All right.
So first things first, as we were just talking about disguises and dressing up, can you tell me about a particularly good fancy dress costume that you've created at some point in your life?
Well, I'm really looking forward to go to a party tomorrow because I'm going to be dressed as Beetlejuice.
That's nice.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
I'm just really looking forward to kind of do a woman Beetlejuice, which I think they should do like a second Beetlejuice, but with a woman. I think that would be pretty awesome. Probably have like a huge backlash of misogynists being
not,
angry at it.
Like
but
Ghostbusters.
I like the idea. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I've got the jacket that you can have if you want. I've got the jacket for Beetlejuice.
That's such a good jacket. I have loads of stripy shit from before, so I think I'm just gonna try and like put something together.
Nice. And see, that's maybe make a little paper mache.
I like DIY.
Yeah,
I like pretty like, you know, last minute type of costumes that you just kind of throw on from whatever you have. I don't like making too much preparation into these things.
Well, I have faith that you'll do a good job tomorrow.
Thanks.
I'll look out for something on your social media that we can repost.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're going to try and take some photos.
Yeah. And have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes, I have, actually. Oh. When I was a kid, I saw loads of ghosts all the time, but I don't know if that's just because I'm weird.
No, I want to know about it. You're the perfect guest to have on the show today.
Yeah, I think when I was a child, I was quite open to these things. So I kept seeing stuff all the time. I remember one time I saw some strange fishermen in one of my parents' old cabins.
Ah.
And they were ready to go out to the ocean, I think. Or they came from there. They all had, like, seaweed on them and stuff. It was pretty...
Wow.
That's from Norway. I mean, in the middle of nowhere. It's very ocean related, everything in Norway.
Wow.
I think.
Well, congratulations. You've had the closest encounter with the paranormal on the show. So, there you go. But four guests.
Well,
on
you
today,
know,
I still
believe in it.
Yeah.
You can call me weird, but I think there's stuff in science that we haven't figured out yet.
I think
there could be like a really good explanation for stuff like this that we just haven't figured out yet. I mean, people used to think that phenomenons that we now know has a scientific explanation. They used to think that that was paranormal, but now we just know that it's, you know, part of nature. So I think that a lot of the stuff that we now don't really know what is could be real, but we just don't know why it's there.
Well,
does that make sense?
It does make sense. And do you know what? having listened to the record, this is exactly how I hoped this chat was going to go.
Oh, that's really
You've lived up to some of the things that you conjure up on the album, and I'm very much looking forward to you guys coming over here on the 21st and 22nd
of
November.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And
Thank you.
We'll keep playing your stuff because it's brilliant. The album Future Fantasies is out now. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And we'll catch up with you when you get over it at the end of next month.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Nice one. Have a nice day. Thank you so much for coming on.
You too. Have a great Halloween.
And you. There we go. That's Kaya from Jackie Charles. And we're now going to play some Jackie Charles, obviously, from that fantastic album. So, I'm just having a little look for it on my page here. Here we go. We're going to play Baby by Jackie Charles. And, yeah, if you're around and you're in London, then get to one of those two gigs on the 21st or 22nd. This is Baby by Jackie Charles.
We haven't got much time. I hope you can take my hand and let it all fall apart around us. Come with me.
There we go. That's Jackie Charles. Now, it's the end of the Halloween special. I've added up every guest, even if I didn't ask them on air the question about the sweets. I'm going to run you through the scores. Top with 27 points is Red. Then it goes Purple. I've got 24. Orange have got 25, so that's second. Green, 17. Yellows, least popular, 12 points. We're going to get rid of the yellows from all forms of sweets in Trick or Treat. That's the end of the show. In an ideal world, we would end with David Bowie, Scary Monsters and Super Creeps, but I've overrun. So instead, we're going to do, in homage to the guys from Lion Coffee and Records, this is Joe the Lion. It's your David Bowie record of the week. That's been the Halloween special. I'll see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.